Well, surely hasn't shown it this year for sure. I mean, he's been a dink and duck guy. He threw ball up the field, I think, more in Washington. And but when you get in the free agency market for quarterbacks, it's an old always buyer beware.
It's the TD Fantasy. The TD Fantasy Podcast. TD Fantasy Podcast. With your host, Paige DeMacos, Jamie Eisner, and Jake Arians.
Welcome into the TD Fantasy Podcast. Paige DeMacos and Jamie Eisner. No Jake Arians today, but we will have Bruce. So we got the better of the Arians clan that's joining us today. That's a shot right at my...
So don't tell Jake that.
It's a shot right at my co-host who's not sitting across from me, so I feel like I can do it. Jamie, we have a great Thursday night football game to preview. We also have a couple of big-time injuries, a firing of a coach, a benched elite quarterback. I say that on purpose to prove a point that he's not elite, but if you couldn't sense the sarcasm in my voice. But let's start with the DeFilippo news, because let's react a little bit to Monday Night Football, and then we'll get into John DeFilippo. Were you surprised at all? This is a Minnesota Vikings team. Okay.
We talked about this. You and I were on the same page on this on Friday.
I saw this Minnesota Vikings team up close and personal on Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears a few weeks ago. And now I understand the Bears defense is unbelievable and playing out of their minds and at home. But the Vikings as a team coming into the season, the expectations surrounding this team were, this is a Super Bowl team. We are a team that's good enough to go to the Super Bowl. We're an elite defense. We're them saying it, not me. We're the best defense in the NFL. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to run this offense. They hired John DeFilippo, who didn't run the ball at all.
Who was the sexy candidate. I mean, there were talks that he could be a head coach somewhere this season.
Yes, he interviewed for the Chicago Bears. Yeah. He was one of the candidates that they interviewed, and I'm thanking my lucky stars that they chose Matt Nagy instead. But listen, DeFilippo was the hot candidate. They hired him. They signed an $84 million contract guaranteed with Kirk Cousins. They signed him to a big contract. All the talk surrounding this team going into the season was, this is going to be an unbelievable football team. And what we've seen so far is a good defense. They're a good defense. They're not the best defense in the NFL. By a large margin, they are not the best defense in the NFL. They cannot establish the run. Their offensive line has been horrible. And Kirk Cousins has been bad.
Yeah, but other than that, like, I feel like everything else is going well. Look, we talked about this a little bit with Bruce Arians. You can hear that at the end of the show. But what did you say was Kirk Cousins' record against winning teams?
5-25.
Yeah, that's not going to get the job done, is it? And again, I think I've called that on Friday's show and on Monday's show. I called it Matthew Stafford syndrome.
Yes.
Quarterback that has a lot of raw talent. Quarterback that's got paid a lot of money. People believe that quarterback can win them games, but they never seem to beat teams that are better than them or of the same caliber as them. And again, with Matthew Stafford, I've already said I don't think that's the guy you can win a Super Bowl with.
Yeah,
I'm starting to wonder if Kirk Cousins, who I was higher on coming into the season than Matthew Stafford, if you can't win a Super Bowl with him. You at some point have to have a performance where I think this Seattle team and this Minnesota team, on paper, Minnesota has a more talented roster. In terms of how they've played this year, I think they're both fairly even. The Vikings weren't even in that game. I know it was a 3-0 game until late in the third quarter, but Seattle kind of hurt themselves in that game. I needed to see Minnesota be the team that we thought they were going to be. Dalvin Cook is back and healthy. That defense is back and mostly healthy now. Again, it's not completely healthy, but mostly healthy. This is a time where they're supposed to be picking it up and looking like a team that's going to be a dangerous team, a team that no division winner wants to face in the first round. Right now, I look at them and they're probably going to get that sixth seed. They have the easiest remaining schedule of all those teams in that little clump at the bottom of the NFC right now. And they have a half game lead over everybody. I'm just underwhelmed. I think this is a team I look at and I say, you know what, they're going to be a pushover for whether it's looks like right now pushover for the Chicago Bears in the first round.
Yeah, he was Kirk Cousins when he got signed. I'm looking at it right now, was 4-19 against 500 teams. Okay, so that was when he got signed. So now they went to overtime against the Packers team, who's below 500. They lost to the Rams, so that's 4-20. They lost to the Bears, 4-21. They lost to the Saints 4-22. They lost to the Patriots 4-23. And I like it's at a loss to the Seahawks. That was 4-24. So he's 4-24 now. I'm looking at he has yet to beat, if I'm not correct, they don't have a game that they won this season where they beat a team that's above 500.
No, and from a fantasy perspective, he is the number 16 quarterback on a points per game basis. Both Tampa Bay quarterbacks. Technically all three, if you include the one game from Josh Johnson, that would push him down to 17. I'm not including Josh Johnson's three quarters of the game.
Yes.
But he's the number 16 quarterback in fantasy points per game. He has not – he's a player that I have used to help me win fantasy leagues in the past, that he was always in around the top 10. I had him ranked pretty high this year. He's always finished like 6th or 8th or 9th. Like, he was always like a guy you get late, always finished in the top 10. He's 16th this year. Right now, he's number 15 for me this week. I'm just – at this point, if you're a Kirk Cousins owner and you're in a certain quarterback league, you might have better options available. I want to talk about this very briefly before we get off that point. Here are the quarterbacks I have ahead of Kirk Cousins this week: Mahomes, Breeze, Rivers, Goff, Roethlisberger, Luck, Newton, Wilson, Brady, Watson. Okay? That's most weeks you've been playing.
Yeah.
Four other guys I have over him this week: Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Lamar Jackson, and believe it or not, Josh Allen. I would start all four of those quarterbacks confidently over Kirk Cousins this week. This is what you see is what you get here. Yeah. I know Miami is not a bad team. They're a slightly above average team with a slightly above average defense. I know the Vikings get them at home. This would be the opportunity for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings to kind of have that bounce back game. I don't see it.
Here's my issue with what's happening with Kirk Cousins, and this is a larger scale question. Kirk Cousins, I feel like, did more with less in Washington.
Well, play calling matters.
Yes, and
I think we need to look back at the last two offensive coordinators. I guess technically two of the last three, because he played the last season. But two of the last three offensive coordinators in Washington before his last season with the Redskins were Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay.
Yep.
And not to say that Kirk Cousins doesn't deserve credit. He does. But when you look at what Matt Nagy is doing with Mitchell Trubisky.
And what Sean McVay has done with Jared Goff.
And two quarterbacks that, although briefly, look like completely different players in their systems. Those things matter.
Yes.
And it matters to make the most of the talent that you have.
Yep.
Right now, I look at the Vikings team and I went, they did more with Case Keenum.
They 100% did more with Case Keenum.
Kirk Cousins is a far more talented football player
100%,
than Case Keenum.
100%. So that's why I think it's less on Kirk, stay with me, than it is because I don't think they set him up for success. I don't think that hiring – I think that pinning Mike Zimmer, who wants to run the football and play defense, against probably what would have been a great system with Kirk Cousins and John DeFilippo was never going to work.
Yeah.
It was never going to work. And had Mike Zimmer allowed John DeFilippo to potentially actually run the system full-fledged the way he wanted to, maybe we would have seen that. And I don't think we're obviously never going to get to see that because John DeFilippo got fired. But I think my issue is, how do you come back with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and Dalvin Cook and Kyle Rudolph and much better options that he ever had in Washington and have this to show for it?
It's
and a better defense, by the way.
And look, some of this has to fall on Zimmer. And
yes, I
think he's a phenomenal head coach.
I do too.
But I think some of this has to fall on him. And now you have to put your players in the best position to have success. And that's the biggest thing that you're seeing. And I it's not a one-to-one comparison. But for fantasy owners or for real-life football, because this crosses over, because quarterback play right now at this time of year matters a lot, I look at what John Harbaugh has done in Baltimore. John Harbaugh never ran an offense like he has run the last 4 weeks at any point in his NFL head coaching career.
Ever.
Not once. But he realized the pieces that he has out there and is putting those pieces in the best position to win football games. That's what you need to do here. And right now, Kirk Cousins and that offense has not been put in the best position to win football games, and he's also struggling.
Yeah.
So you put those two things together, and you get what you have right now is a team that should be an 11 or 12-win team that's probably going to limp into the playoffs as an 8 or 9-win team.
Yeah, and I think that it falls a little bit on Rick Spielman, the GM, because I think if you are going to spend, if you're going to guarantee your quarterback, what is it, $84 million of guaranteed money, okay? If you're going to do that, you need to make sure, damn well sure, that you are putting that quarterback into a system that makes sense long term. And I don't think they did that pinning Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo, because clearly there's been tension with these guys all season. They didn't even get through a full season.
No. And it's something's very interesting. Of the top five highest paid quarterbacks in the league, Kirk Cousins is the only one in the playoff picture.
I know. I saw that statistic, which is wild.
It becomes and Jake's talked about this point in the show a lot. There's a formula to win now. Yes, you can win outside of this formula. It is possible. The Patriots do it. However, you win with quarterbacks on rookie/team-friendly deals because it allows you the roster flexibility to do a lot of different things.
Which Tom Brady has done for his team for a long time. Because he should be the number one paid quarterback in the league at every single year that he plays.
And again, I never blame players for getting their money, but we're specifically talking about roster construction. Look at what, for example, what the Rams have been able to do. How do they afford all of those players on the defensive side of the ball?
Jared Goff hasn't gotten paid. Deal. Yeah.
And those rookie deals, especially those first-rounders that have that fifth-year option, you give yourself – odds are you're probably not winning with a rookie quarterback, but you're giving yourself a five-year window from the time they step into the league until the time you have to sign them to that new contract to give your team the best chance to win. And that's how you have to win now.
Yeah.
For the most part.
For sure, because it's really hard to pay everybody. Because guess what, Green Bay fans? It's not going to get much easier for you guys. Aaron Rodgers is guaranteed $33.5 million next year against your cap. Good luck.
Which is why, again, I look at a team in the Bay Area, both teams in the Bay Area, and I say I have some concerns about their ability to build contenders long term because Jimmy Garoppolo is making a ton of money. And again, we don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is good yet.
No,
I keep having to put that. I think he is an above average starter. That's what I think in my mind. We have no idea.
No, we saw the same sample size, actually less of a sample size of him than we saw of Colin Kaepernick, who's no longer in the league.
And from like a fantasy point of view, Garoppolo doesn't run like Kaepernick did.
No,
so he's not putting up those kind of points. But again, like but Kaepernick was on a rookie deal when they made those runs. Against who? Russell Wilson on a rookie deal.
Yes.
Like those things matter. So look, long term, I look at the Vikings as I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be disappointing in there. But if you're a Stephon Diggs or an Adam Thielen owner right now, I'm an Adam Thielen owner. I'm a little nervous going into the postseason now because I'm in the semifinals. He has been a great player for me, but that offense looks so out of sync right now. Stephon Diggs, same thing. Kyle Rudolph's been non-existent the entire season. I thought this would be the breakout year.
Which is extremely frustrating because he's talented.
And what Kirk Cousins did with Jordan Reed was spectacular.
Yep.
And it just hasn't translated.
That's what I mean, though. There's a certain point where you got to say, yes, John DeFilippo got fired. He was the fall guy. That some of this needs to fall on management, head coach Mike Zimmer, and GM Rick Spielman, because you knew what Kirk Cousins was. You saw enough of Kirk Cousins to know the type of quarterback that he was. And you didn't put him in a situation to succeed. Because right now, what's happened falls on them.
Yeah.
It has to. Because Kirk Cousins is a talented quarterback. I don't think he's an elite quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. But he's a top 15 quarterback in this league. I truly believe
that. He has shown he can be that.
Yeah. And he has top 15 caliber talent around him.
He's got so many weapons. He's got so many more weapons now than he did in Washington.
And that's what's got to be frustrating if you're a Vikings fan, because you look around and you go, there is no excuse for this team to not be better than they are.
The biggest worry a lot of people had going into the fantasy season with Kirk Cousins was that he put up a lot of points in garbage time.
Yeah,
a lot of points when his team were down. Was down.
That's a good point.
The Vikings have been down plenty this year, and he hasn't been doing that.
Oh, but they haven't. It feels like he's handcuffed. It really does. I think that there's been a struggle with Mike Zimmer and John DeFilippo all year long, and now Mike Zimmer got the better of it. Let's see what they do this week.
We'll see.
Let's see if they
open up that offense a little bit more.
Yeah, let's see what it looks like. Because Mike Zimmer, you can say you want to run the football all you want. That offensive line is not good enough to establish the run all the time.
No.
They're just not. They are not creating holes for Dalvin Cook and company to create and run the football and establish the run and play defense.
So to reiterate a point I made earlier, Cousins is my number 15 quarterback this week. If you're in a single quarterback league, you might have a better option. I've seen Josh Allen is available in a lot of leagues. Dak Prescott's available in a lot of leagues. I would start either of those players over Kirk Cousins this week, or quite frankly, over Aaron Rodgers this week too. I don't like his matchup.
No, you just saw what happened to Jared Goff, who's been an unbelievable fantasy quarterback all year long. Let's talk about another quarterback, and this is a quarterback that's going to be out and could be out for the rest of the season, and that is Carson Wentz. This is bad news if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, because one, this is already injured. Okay, he's coming off an injury this season. It's a different injury now. It's a back injury that he's sitting with this week. But listen, Philadelphia is in the thick of the NFC wild card picture, and they have some tough games coming up. And this is, listen, Dallas is going to win this division. It's a wrap.
Yeah, no one is debating that.
No one's debating that.
But Philadelphia's only a half, technically a half game behind Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, they are not out of it from a wild card perspective by any stretch of the imagination. Now,
two really tough matchups the next 2 weeks, though. They go, again, this week they're at the Rams and they go home against the Texans.
Yeah, it's just more, it is realistic that they're probably going to lose 2 of 3 to finish out this season, and then they will miss the postseason. Jamie, I asked this question to Bruce Arians, which you guys will hear later, but if they do that, if they lose, let's say they lose 2 of 3, are they the most disappointing team in your mind of the 2018 season?
I think they're in the conversation. And there are, to me, there are three teams. This is a three-team race for most disappointing. You have the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
You have the Philadelphia Eagles. But you have my pick, which is still Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
People like the Eagles. They didn't see the Eagles going back to the Super Bowl. They saw them as probably going to win what we all thought was going to be a very weak division. It is a weak division. The difference is the one team that's emerging. It's not the Eagles. It's the Dallas Cowboys. The Atlanta Falcons have way too much talent to be a 4-win team right now. I know they've been decimated by injuries, but they've also played their way to that record.
Yes,
I don't think that injuries have caused them to go 4-9. I think they maybe caused them to go 6-7 to this point, but I don't think that's, you can blame it all on the injuries. The Jacksonville Jaguars, for 35 minutes last year, were the best team in the AFC.
Yep.
They were better than the New England Patriots. And I will go to my grave believing that on that day, regardless of what the end result was, the Jaguars were a better football team for that game than the New England Patriots.
No, were. if they for 1 second forgot that they were in the position that they were in, they got scared. That's what happened. They took the gas off the foot, off the pedal, or their pedal off the gas, and they got scared.
That is the perfect word. I've never seen a team more afraid of winning a football game.
Yeah, they were afraid.
Than Jacksonville was in the second half.
They were afraid.
They should be a team that we're talking about as a Super Bowl contender this year. We should be talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars having the 2 seed and the inevitable matchup of the Jags defense against the Chiefs offense in the AFC Championship game to see, does defense still indeed win championships? That's what we should be talking about. Instead, I have to scroll all the way down to the 10th spot in the 10th spot under the division winners, and I see Jacksonville at 4-9 with a nice little E dash next to their name. They are the most disappointed team in football. I know you asked about the Eagles, so going back to them, they're in that conversation. I think they're 2A, 2B with Atlanta of which of the bird teams are more disappointing based on expectations. I don't think any of us thought they were going to be an upper echelon team this year. I thought they were going to be the 4 seed most likely in the NFC and win a weak division. But they're in that conversation. But to me, the bigger concern is if Carson Wentz does miss the rest of the year, that's now 2 years in a row where he has missed a huge portion of the end of your season. That's starting to become a concern. Obviously, he's the quarterback you want. I don't care if Nick Foles goes into LA and beats the Rams. Carson Wentz is still your quarterback. We know what Nick Foles is at this point. For those who are wondering, if you're playing 2 QB leagues, he's my number 21 quarterback this week. But I look at this Eagles team and I just go, I wonder if they just overperformed. Because if we remember, this wasn't an elite team.
No.
Like, this was an elite team at times last season, and then Wentz got hurt, and they kind of got the job done on the way there. I just wonder if they just went on a hell of a run. I wonder if this is the Baltimore Ravens a few years ago. If they just went on a great run, and they have a lot of pieces that when they all click, they're dangerous, but they can't get them to all click at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I look at this Eagles team of, like, next year, I could see them being a 9-win team.
Yeah.
I could see them being a 7-win team. I don't see them being a 13-win team. I think that's gone.
The other thing that I think it's important to bring up is people tend to think that in the NFL, you can just recreate what the Patriots have done. What the Patriots have done is something that doesn't exist throughout NFL history, really, other than in times where they weren't as many
teams.
Where
there were four teams that were good. Yeah.
That's, I'm talking about in modern day NFL. What the Patriots have done is probably, and I say probably, with like a 99% chance, never ever going to be recreated. Ever. Because it is so in the salary cap, what we've talked about with quarterbacks, it is so hard to recreate that magic that it takes to get to the Super Bowl. And it's hard to stay hungry because the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing. It doesn't exist in the Patriots locker room because Tom Brady exists in the Patriots locker room. And they plug and play people each and every year. So those new people are hungry to play in a Super Bowl. Whereas on other teams, this is a team that just won that's most of the same cast that we saw last year with Philadelphia.
And I think the more likely scenario going forward is teams do what like the Steelers have done, where they're always in the second and third round almost every year.
Yep.
They pop up in the Super Bowl every once in a while, and that's where you go. And that's a more likely path.
Yeah.
But yeah, what New England's doing is unprecedented. It's just, at least in this era, like with the salary cap, you're not dealing with the 49ers of the 80s, the Steelers of the 70s. Really, if you really think back upon it, you can even argue the Rams didn't have this long run. The greatest show on turf, Rams didn't have a long run, and the Patriots ended that.
Yeah.
So it's just teams are going to regress a little bit. Still, the Eagles should be better than what they are now.
Yeah, I agree. Last quarterback conversation we're going to have that I tease up at the top is the once called elite, or my favorite argument in sports, really, is Joe Flacco elite. And I would say no to that question.
He never had four great games.
Yes.
All in a row, and deserves all the credit in the world for the Ravens winning. Well, defense deserves a lot more credit too, but deserves just as much credit as the Ravens defense did for winning that Super Bowl.
Yes.
That doesn't change who he was as a quarterback.
No, but he's now officially been benched. He is healthy, is going to be benched for Lamar Jackson.
For now.
I put an asterisk next to that.
Gun to my head, if the Ravens make the playoffs, I think Joe Flacco starting that playoff.
I agree. I also agree. I just think they're in a position right now where they went into Arrowhead to play the best team in the AFC, unquestionably, and they should have won the football game. And I think the fact that Lamar Jackson was able to take that team into a hostile environment and do what they did last week, it is impossible to then turn around and say, yeah, we're starting Joe.
It takes a lot of balls to do what John Harbaugh is doing right now. Because so often I think coaches fall into the trap of, I have a guy, he's been, especially in this case, he's been my guy for a long time.
Yep.
I got to go back to him the second he's healthy.
Yep.
This is working. This is working better than I ever imagined this would be working. This Lamar Jackson offense with Gus Edwards, with Kenneth Dixon, who's having a little bit bigger role and playing well and not quite in fantasy territory yet, but is somebody that maybe keep an eye on. If he has another big week, you might in really deep leagues, he might be somebody you want to throw in your championship game. This is working right now, and everything is clicking. Lamar Jackson could very well give John Harbaugh a reason to go back to Joe Flacco. And I think he will at some point. The fumbles are going to be a problem. And I think when you're playing a very tight postseason game that's very defensively oriented, I think there's going to be a lot of concern as turnover prone as Joe Flacco has been with interceptions, Lamar Jackson is worse with fumbles.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think at some point they're going to go back to Joe Flacco. But right now this is working. And your goal is to get in. And by the way, your goal is you can still win this division.
Yeah.
You're only a half game back at Pittsburgh. So keep it going until it starts to not to work. The minute it starts not to work, he's going back to Flacco, and it's understandable.
Yeah.
But right now, while it's working, ride it, because you never know what can happen.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about this football team, I think I think you're spot on that eventually they're going to go back to Flacco. But I think for now, the interesting part of this for me is in your perspective. What is Lamar Jackson from a fantasy value right now? Because I think in a two quarterback league, this becomes very interesting. Because I'm in a two quarterback league that's in the postseason, where now we're looking and you're seeing and you're going, okay, is it matchup based where you're looking at certain quarterbacks and you're saying, I don't really like this matchup, or you're looking at a guy like Ben Roethlisberger who's got a rib injury, who's playing the Patriots, and you're going, man, he's turnover prone. I don't know if I want to. I'm just throwing out some options there. Where are you putting Lamar Jackson this week?
Well, in a two QB league, he's an elite option.
I agree.
The second quarterback spot. Right now, he's my QB. He was my QB 15 this week. He was slightly behind Carson Wentz, and I moved Wentz down. I moved Foles down below where Wentz would have been. But he's my QB 14 this week. Since he took over as a starter for the Ravens, on a points per game basis, he's QB 14.
Yeah.
That's what he is. You probably are not starting him in single quarterback formats. It's possible you have a guy or two in your league that is hoarding multiple top options there. So you might have to start him in this format. But for the most part, he's an elite option as your QB2. I would much rather start him most weeks over even Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
I think if you need him, as long as he is starting – and by the way, that's going to be way higher than where Flacco will be if Flacco takes back over the job. He's going to be back in the
20s. Yeah, for sure.
So he'll be a low-end QB2.
Yeah, no rushing ability at all.
Lamar Jackson, he's just – again, he has a very, very – his ceiling isn't as high as people think it is. People misconstrue, I think, what a running quarterback is in fantasy. Aside from the year where Michael Vick went just absolutely, positively nuts and won everybody in the fantasy leagues, me included, with the Eagles, what it does is it raises your floor. It doesn't really extend your ceiling.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's ceiling isn't as high as the top quarterbacks, as the Mahomes, the Goffs, of the Breezes of the world, even the Tom Brady's.
He's not going to throw that many touchdowns.
But you're probably not getting a single-digit performance from him either unless he gets hurt.
Yeah, or a Jared Goff, a half-point performance like you did last week.
His bust potential is extremely low, and I think that is the key point here, which is why he's an excellent option in 2QB format.
Yeah, and an excellent option in the postseason where if you want to go with a more safer option in your second spot for the postseason, makes a whole lot of sense going with him. All right, the last thing we're going to do here is preview a very, very, very good Thursday night football game. Chiefs and Chargers, in my opinion, and I think in your opinion as well, the two best teams in the AFC. Right now, the two teams that are playing the best football in the AFC are the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
I agree. And actually, we're gonna ask Bruce Arians about that later. If who does he think? Because we had that conversation on our show on Monday. Who is the second best team?
And it's tough because
in the AFC right now.
Both of us want to believe in LA, right? I want to believe that LA is a Super Bowl team, right?
They have the – it's just – when you've watched a team just fumble away – not literally, but fumble away so many golden opportunities over the years, it's tough to have any confidence in them. From a talent perspective
– they're right up there.
They have – nothing about record or how they're playing. Strictly from pure talent level, they are maybe the best team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time saying if you look on paper – when healthy, the talent all the way over the field, find me a team that has a better roster in the AFC
especially,
than the Chargers.
Especially now that the Chiefs do not have Kareem Hunt. Advantage, Chargers.
Chargers have a better running back situation.
Yes.
The Chargers have a better defensive situation.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And I don't think Rivers is that far behind Mahomes. Mahomes just gets,
maybe
gets the nod right now.
The tight end position win Chiefs because of Travis Kelce.
Sure. So if you go past catching options in total – I'd rather have Tyreek Hill. I'd rather have Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins when he's healthy. Over Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, and whatever's left of Antonio Gates at this point.
Yeah,
sure.
But they're split because the running back situation is greater than Chargers and the pass catching options are greater than for the Chiefs.
The Chargers might have three running backs better than anybody the Chiefs have running the ball.
That's the big difference.
And I think that's an extremely interesting aspect of it.
This is the my
and defense is I don't think it's close.
I wish this game wasn't on a Thursday though, because I don't think I hate harping on this, but it's just the truth. No team should be playing football on Thursday night. No team is fully healthy or rested to play a Thursday night game, and no team that has to go on the road and have a travel day, by the way, in this whole thing. And this isn't a little skip. LA to Kansas City is quite a little jaunt. It sucks. And so I don't think that this is I'm giving them an excuse, but it's just the facts. It's tough to go on the road on Thursday night and win football games.
Never,
it just is.
They're never going to do it. But if I were czar of the football world, I would not play Thursday night games.
Never.
You have to find a way to make Thursday night football work. I wouldn't play Thursday night games weeks 2 through 4. And I would make sure from week 5 until we got to, I would guess say week 13, that every team playing on Thursday night football had a bye the week before.
Yeah.
And I would say, okay, I know it's a Thursday game, but you're going to get 10 days
yeah.
to rest before the game and then 10 days before your next game.
Yep.
A lot like they do for London. Treat it just like those London games.
Yeah, it should be treated.
They won't
that
do
way.
That because then we don't have Thursday night football games in week 14, or we don't have them in week 2. Again, Thursday night game just opened the year. You've had a whole offseason.
Yeah.
But that's never going to happen. For this game, I think the most intriguing aspect, I'll just briefly touch on the quarterbacks. Mahomes still my QB1 this week. Rivers is my QB3. I know Chargers road Thursday. I just think there's a good matchup. The Chargers can lose this game and still get plenty of fantasy value.
Absolutely.
The running backs is where this gets interesting. So let's talk about all the running back drama in this game.
Yeah, injuries, everything.
So as we started this podcast, Austin Ekeler ruled officially out for the game. That's kind of what I expected. That was a brutal hit he took on that onside kick
and
recovery.
It's his neck, so don't mess around.
You know, I'm sorry. This is not like a bruised knee. This is your neck. This is your head.
Yeah.
You don't mess with that, period. Yeah. Especially on 3 days rest. That's life-altering stuff right there. So Melvin Gordon is questionable. He is traveling to Kansas City, which I think, again, is it's a decent sign. I think you need to pay attention. I have no idea where I have Melvin Gordon right now. Because if you tell me he's active – I don't know how much he's playing. No. I don't know if he's playing active because he's not 100% healthy. He's not even 80% healthy. So is he active and playing 10 snaps? Is he active and they're putting him in the red zone? Is he active and just going to hold his helmet on the sideline? You know, they're down to so many backs. They could have him active and just really not use him very much. The benefit on Thursday is you have the ability to switch him out for anybody you want.
Yep.
But if you're a Melvin Gordon owner, you need to be paying attention right up until kickoff.
Yeah.
And this is a big decision.
Huge
I'm facing
decision.
Somebody that's Melvin Gordon. And I don't envy his position of he's the underdog in the playoff matchup. That's a humble brag for me. But he's the underdog in the playoff matchup. I beat him twice this year. I'm just saying. He's got to make a decision of this has been my best player all year long.
Yeah.
I'm in the semifinals of the playoffs right now. If he plays, how do I not start him?
Yeah, it's tough because what are your other options? That's really what it comes down to. This is a case by case that you're going to have to look at it because it depends on what your other options are. And hopefully, unfortunately, a lot of you probably handcuffed with Austin Ekeler, who's also not going to play in this football game. So that's not really an option here. So
if you handcuff with Justin Jackson, the worst case scenario for you is Melvin Gordon starting and splitting carries.
Yes.
Because that way it's going to limit both their value. You either want him ruled out and saying, wow, Justin Jackson's got an awesome matchup. And when I did my rankings, I was assuming Gordon was not going to be active for the game. I have Justin Jackson as my number 15 running back this
week.
I think he's a very strong RB2. If they both play, odds are you don't have the roster space to play them both. You almost have to play Gordon.
Yeah, be with upside.
You just have to because unless you're – because there's no way to know. It's not like this is Monday Night Football and you're knowing if you need that massive game to get you over or just like, oh, I need 4 points to win.
I am going to try and pretend like I was a coach and know that this game means a lot, but also you have a lot to look forward to with this team. And Melvin Gordon is a huge part of this team's success going forward. And I just don't think that they're going to gamble.
It's 3 weeks since he got hurt.
Yeah, I just don't – you can't – to me, I'm not gambling to win this football game, to maybe win this football game on the road on Thursday night with the long term of this football team's outlook. Because if I'm the head coach, I go, unless he is 85% or better, he's not playing in this football game.
Yeah.
It's just not because it really, if he goes down, your team is not the Super Bowl team. They're not a Super Bowl caliber team without Melvin Gordon.
So
they're just not.
For the real life football implications of this game, if the Chargers win, they will be tied with the Chiefs. And then at that point, it gets interesting because the Chiefs would still have the tiebreakers right now because it would be 1-1 and they would have the divisional tiebreaker. There is a path in which the Chargers can still win the division. It gets a little wonky there. If they lose this game, they're essentially locked into the 5 seed.
Yes.
Which, again, is not the worst case in the world. Just it is what it is. You're in the same division with the Chiefs right now. I agree with you. I think if you look at this team, you can win the Super Bowl as a wild card team. You can win on the road. Now, I don't know if the Chargers can win on the road in the postseason enough. But it's risky. I think the thing you're concerned about here is that they play Melvin Gordon, they give him 5 carries.
Yeah. Which to me is useless. If you're playing him to give him 5 carries, that doesn't make any sense.
Or he gets
hurt. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Or he gets hurt again and leaves in the first quarter, and then you're stuck. To me, if Melvin Gordon is active and you look at, you could take a look at my rankings on tdfantasy.com. If you don't have somebody in my top 25 or top 23 even to replace him with,
you kind of got to play him.
You got to play him.
Yeah.
And you just got to kind of live with the consequences. If he's not active, then you're great. You're playing Justin Jackson if you have him, or you're playing whoever you were before. On the other side, I think this might have surprised some people. This was one we said to watch on Monday. Spencer Ware, doubtful for this game. So if you haven't been paying attention, you better run and go get Damian Williams off the waiver wire right now. I would also – I think even Daryl Williams is a potential, because I think they're going to use both backs. I have Damian Williams right now as my number 16 back. I basically put him right where Spencer Ware was. I put Daryl Williams in the number 35 spot among running backs this week. You need to go right now, because if you, I think a lot of people after the Kareem Hunt news were playing, as I was, playing Spencer Ware in a starting running back spot or a flex spot. He's not going to play. I cannot remember the last player that was listed as doubtful the day before a game and played meaning. It happens rarely, but played meaningful time and scored meaningful amount of fantasy points. You need to go out and see him. If Jalen Samuels is still somehow out there, we don't know if James Conner is going to play or not, but you have to go out and get him. There's just a lot of interesting running back scenarios here.
Yeah.
I look at San Francisco's backfield, and I'm not sure if Breida is going to be back this week. There's just a lot of things out there. So go out there and get Damian Williams if you can and put him in your starting lineup right away.
All right, I'm going to force you to –
Tyreek Hill also questionable, by the way.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is also questionable.
I think he's going to play if he does play. Where I have him this week? I had him as my wide receiver 7 this week if he plays. So
yeah.
I think it's a big week for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to have another big week.
Keep in mind.
Yeah, it's tough.
Watkins already out. Keep an eye on Chris Conley, because if Tyreek doesn't play, ball's going to go somewhere that's not just Travis. They're not throwing to Travis Kelce 20
times. No, but he's throwing the ball.
So
he's throwing the ball somewhere.
That's got to go somewhere. So kind of, if you're a Tyreek Hill, again, this is the case. Use your bench smartly. If you're a Tyreek Hill owner, you don't have another great option at wide receiver, go pick up Chris Conley, because if Tyreek Hill doesn't play, all of a sudden, I think Chris Conley is in wide receiver 2 territory.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So from a football perspective, what do you see happening in this football game?
I think the Chiefs are still a better team. The Chiefs went into LA and beat the Chargers in week one. I know the Chargers got their big signature win that we've been begging for them to have against the Steelers a couple weeks ago. But it's tough to play on the road Thursday night for good teams. We saw it happen to the Saints. We saw it happen to others as well. I think the Chiefs are a better football team. They're at home. Arrowhead's a tough place to play. Everything in this game screams to me that the Chiefs are going to win.
If this game was on Sunday, I'd be picking the Chargers.
Really?
I would. I think that they have enough, because I think health-wise, Melvin Gordon would go for sure.
Yes,
if
no,
it
I
was
agree.
Sunday.
4 extra days.
I think that that would be enough of a difference. But I do not pick the underdog in a road Thursday night football game. It's very hard to do that. And I just think at this point, not knowing when we're recording this podcast whether or not Melvin Gordon is going to start, I cannot choose the LA Chargers to win this game.
I would be very pleasantly surprised if they did.
Yeah, I hope that they do, because I think it makes things really interesting.
It does. I'm not fully bought in to the Chargers as a Super Bowl team yet.
No, but if they win on Thursday Night Football, I'm all the
way. If they win, we're having a whole different conversation on Friday's podcast.
Yeah.
We really are.
Because then they cement themselves probably as the best team in the AFC.
Well, and then all of a sudden we start talking about the Chiefs, and we go again. The Chiefs at that point still have the path.
Yes.
To the division. So just because the Chargers win this game, they don't leapfrog the Chiefs.
No.
With the record, they still have the Chiefs still have a much easier path because of the playoff odds than the Chargers do. But again, we start talking about, like, if the Chiefs and Mahomes have to go on the road, like we talked about all season, I said, my concern is if they have to go on the road to Pittsburgh, or again, considering what Pittsburgh was a few weeks ago, going on the road to New England.
Yep.
I don't know how I feel about that. If the Chiefs have to go on the road everywhere, I'm not so sure that all of a sudden everybody's Super Bowl favorite in the AFC isn't the Super Bowl favorite anymore.
Yeah.
So again, a lot has to happen. Chiefs probably have to lose two of these final three games, including this one.
For sure.
To make it happen. But they'd have to lose this game, and they have to lose the final game of the regular season against the Raiders. I just can't see that happening.
But if it does. But at the same time, I think we haven't seen the full ramifications of Kareem Hunt not being on this football team. do not.
We saw it a little bit last week.
A little bit last week, but now Spencer Ware a little banged up. Like, that becomes an interesting conversation now.
Damian Williams has some talent. I was a little surprised to see him cut from Miami a couple years back, but or a year ago, when all that stuff's a blur. I don't remember which offseason he got cut from them, but it's not the same. Kareem Hunt was an elite option in the backfield. By the way, he should be cut. He shouldn't be on the team anymore.
No,
no one is debating that. But strictly from a football standpoint, he gave them he was a better option in the backfield.
100%.
Than Spencer Ware or Damian Williams or Darrell Williams.
100%.
Or Charcandre Quest.
Yeah, no. I don't care who else you put back there. It's not the same as having Kareem Hunt. Jamie, how can everybody follow you on social media?
Follow me at Jamie Eisner on Twitter and at JME Eisner on Instagram.
Guys, you can follow me at @_sports_page with an I on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow TD Fantasy at @TD_ on both Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to stay tuned because Bruce Arians is coming up next.
What's up, TD Fantasy listeners? Jake Arians here. Not only am I one of your co-hosts on the podcast of TD Fantasy, I'm also very privileged and proud to be the president of the Arians Family Foundation, the foundation that we started to honor my mom and the work that she's done for underprivileged kids throughout her entire life. So for more information, go to ArriansFamilyFoundation.com, @ArriansFF on all your social media outlets.
And we have a special guest, our guest that joins us every Wednesday, former head coach Bruce Arians. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic.
I love to hear that. No golf game updates this week, but maybe we'll get some. Maybe we'll get some next week. We are going to talk to you about what could be the best matchup of the weekend, and that's on Thursday night. The Chiefs and the Chargers match up against each other. The Chargers got their signature win in primetime against the Steelers. Can they do it again and keep their division hopes alive against the Chiefs in Arrowhead?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on Melvin Gordon's health. Either Eckler or they have to have one of those running backs. And the Chargers are hot right now. I thought, you know, the Chiefs struggled last week against Baltimore. It should be a heck of a ball game. Whoever wins it, I think, wins the AFC.
Well, and considering the way the things shook out in the AFC last week, if I had to ask you today, Coach, who do you think, aside from the Chiefs, is the second best team in the AFC right now?
Chargers. no doubt. And so that's why they're going to be 1-2, and they may be playing for the championship because either one plays really well on the road.
So, Coach, the matchup that I'm going to talk to you about next is the matchup that we usually circle as one of the best matchups of the year, and that's the Patriots and the Steelers. But both of these teams are coming off bad losses. Both of these teams have been disappointing in certain moments of the season. What do you expect to see from these two veteran teams? Because they're both kind of in a moment where they need to win. Both teams really need to win, especially after how they both performed last week.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the two games, the miracle in Miami, and then the kicker slipping and falling after the Steelers made a miracle play themselves. Two disappointing losses that they both thought they won the games. So I don't think they'll be that downtrodden. They're upset. Neither situation changed any. It's still a big game. It's probably a bigger game for the Steelers because Baltimore's nipping on their heels.
Do you see – what do you expect to see from the Steelers team specifically, though? Because they're kind of – they've been labeled the drama team. They've been labeled the team that lives for the drama because then now, like you said, they have the Ravens nipping at their heels, and this is – you never want Tom Brady to come in extra motivated, and coming off of that loss, you expect to see him extra motivated.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Pittsburgh, for them, I think their offense has to totally control the game. And not only time of possession, but production time, meaning they got to score points while they have it and hold the ball and keep Tom Brady on the bench, because I really don't think the Steeler defense is that good.
Coach, sticking with the AFC just for one more question here. How do you see that final wild card spot shaking out? You have four teams tied at 7-6. Right now the Steelers are leading the AFC North, half game above the Baltimore Ravens. Who has the advantage there? And is there a team that you're looking at and saying, if that team gets in, I don't want to play them if I'm Houston or New England?
Yeah, I think it would be the Indianapolis Colts. You know, that was a big win for them in Houston. When Andrew Luck gets hot, well, he's hard to stop. And again, they just proven they can win on the road, which was basically a playoff game for them in Houston. I think the other team would be the Tennessee Titans, and I think that's going to be a big, big game, the last game of the year.
Coach, the big talk this week is that the Minnesota Vikings fired offensive coordinator John DeFilippo just 6 to 8 months ago. He was the potential hot head coaching candidate and now is without a job. Is John DeFilippo the fall guy in Minnesota? Do you think there's bigger issues with that football team, or do you think it's as simple as that offense needs to simplify itself and just start winning football games?
Well, if it's Mike Zimmer's team, they better run the ball, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to play great defense and have a physical run the ball offense. And, you know, when you hire a guy, you hire a system, and it kind of – Philly didn't run the ball. Well, they ran the ball more than Minnesota's been doing it. But, yeah, I didn't see that marriage working in the beginning. And so I think Zim did what he had to do.
Coach, I value your opinion on quarterbacks greatly, which is why I need your opinion on this. Kirk Cousins has been paid a lot of money to be the guy in Minnesota. His record against teams above 500 is horrendous. It's 5-25. He doesn't get the job done against good football teams. In your opinion, do you think he's a good enough quarterback to get it done and take that Minnesota Vikings team to be a Super Bowl caliber team that they think that they are?
Well, surely hasn't shown it this year for sure. I mean, he's been a dink and duck guy. He threw the ball up the field, I think, more in Washington. And but when you get in the free agency market for quarterbacks, it's an old always buyer beware. I mean, you're going to overpay. And he had decent statistics in Washington, but was he a playoff caliber quarterback? No.
The Vikings are currently occupying that last wildcard spot in the NFC, but they've got four teams within a game of them: Carolina, Philadelphia, Washington, Green Bay. All of them have all five of those teams, including Minnesota, have a lot of warts. Who do you think has the advantage of that group?
Gosh, they seem to be falling by the wayside. I mean, definitely not Washington. Philadelphia, they could sneak in and then they would be dangerous. Minnesota with a change of philosophy, maybe. I don't know. That's one of those ones. Who gets in is going to be the first one out.
It really does feel that way. It kind of feels like that whole part of the NFC is kind of backing in. But the teams that aren't backing in the NFC, Chicago gets that big win against LA on Sunday Night Football. The Saints go down to Tampa Bay and win. Right now, who do you think is the team to beat in the NFC? Is it the Saints, the Rams, or the Bears?
I think it's the Saints. And I think it's all about home field advantage right now. And Chicago obviously handled Los Angeles with the weather and their defense. And when you're a cold weather team, even with Mitchell Trubisky struggling, their defense is so good, they can do it. But I wouldn't want to play anybody in New Orleans in that dome in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's my sentiments exactly, Coach. Jamie asked me, who am I more afraid of, the LA Rams or the New Orleans Saints? And I said, nobody wants to play the Saints at home. That's a very intimidating environment to play in. Last question I have for you is, Carson Wentz is not going to play on Sunday. He could potentially miss the rest of the season for the Eagles. Are they the most disappointing team of 2018?
I don't think so. I mean, that Super Bowl hangover thing's real. That's real. And the injuries they've had and the coaching change of losing Frank Wright and John DeFilippo both in the same year, I don't think Doug Peterson had to do it all by himself, and it didn't seem to be working.
It's a good point. I don't think I think everybody's talking about them being disappointing and not really talking about the difference in coaching staffs. Coach, thank you so much for joining us this week, and good luck calling your game this weekend.
You bet. Have a great one.